welcome to Planet Shakers. So great to have you with us today. Hey, today I'm going to be sharing around this thought, waiting and walking. It's about this life of faith that God has called us to, waiting and walking. Check this out. I believe it's going to bless you.
I'm ready to preach. I want to preach to you out of Mark chapter number 9. I'm just going to go ahead and read it right now. And it's going to be up on the screens. But it says this in verse number 20. It says, so they brought the boy. They brought this boy to Jesus. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. Solid. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us, Jesus, if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers that was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak, he said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. And then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as the people said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet. And he stood up. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the power that is in your word. We thank you for the promises that are in your word. Your promises are yes and amen. God, we thank you. You got promises for us here today. God, we thank you. You got a word here for us today. And Father, I pray right now for that spirit that you speak about in your word, that spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest upon each of us. God, as your word goes out today, Lord, let it come into our hearts, let it come into our minds, let it do exactly that which you purpose it to do. God, send your word into our situation. Send your word today into our circumstance. Send your word today into our impossible situations. God, send your word into our life. God, we need you. We need your word. God, we need exactly that, what you've got for us today. And God, we thank you. We give you all the honor, all the praise in Jesus' name. Somebody with faith, shout amen. Amen, amen, amen. I want to speak to you today. I believe God's given me a word, and I've called it waiting and walking. Waiting and walking. You know, it's so integral for us in this walk of faith, in this life of faith that we live. It's important for us to know that God is good. In fact, if you grew up in church, if you've been in church for more than about 20 years, you'll know exactly what to do in this moment. God is good. And all the time. See, God is good all the time. He is always good. He's never stopped being good. God is good and he is good all the time. But in this story, now God is good. I know he's good because that's what his word says about himself. That's been my experience of him every day. God is good. There is no denying God is good. But in this story, I can't say that God's not good because he's always good. But he's just not very nice about being good in this story. You may wonder what I'm talking about. You see, this story provides witness to the fact that God isn't always nice about being good. In fact, we get introduced in this story to crazy Jesus. He's crazy. Put yourself in the shoes of this father for a moment. You bring your child to Jesus. Great decision. And your child has been possessed and afflicted by an evil spirit. There is a sickness in this child. So you bring him to Jesus. Good move, correct move, the right thing to do. And the moment that that spirit comes in the presence of the king, the moment that spirit comes in the presence of a greater authority, all of a sudden, this child begins to convulse and have a fit. Not a problem. God's good. He's good all the time. This child is convulsing. It's all good. God's got this. But then He doesn't. He doesn't even pay attention to the child. He begins to strike up a conversation with the father. The child is busy convulsing. Jesus is just busy asking questions. What's wrong with you, Jesus? Pay attention to my child. Everybody else can see he's convulsing. Everybody else can see his problem, but you're busy quizzing me about theology. What's wrong with you, Jesus? I told you, crazy Jesus. And so Jesus decides that this would be a great moment to ask the father about his theology. And the father, it eventually comes out, he uses these words, if you can. Help us, Jesus, if you can. And here we get to the crux of the conversation. Jesus brings his father to a point where he begins to teach his father a lesson. He says, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. And the father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Waiting and walking. We're going to come back to that conversation in a moment because I want to show you something in that conversation that I believe God wants to speak to you out of. But the reason we need to come back to that in a moment is because we still have a child convulsing on the floor. And so this child is busy doing what it's doing. And Jesus has made the point that he is trying to make. He has brought this man to a point of revelation he was trying to bring him to. He was teaching him the lesson he was trying to teach him. But the boy is still convulsing. And finally, when the crowd had grown to a certain size, Jesus rebuked the spirit. Now, it's important you understand Jesus rebuked the spirit. Jesus didn't have to fight the spirit. Jesus didn't have to go into battle with the spirit. There was no wrestling match that took place either in the spirit or in the flesh. There was no wrestle in that moment. There was a simple rebuke out of the mouth of the Son of God. And that should tell you something today, that he has such a greater authority that it isn't even a battle. That when God is in the picture, he is so much higher and so much stronger and so much greater than anything we may find ourselves in the middle of. Come on, somebody take 5 seconds and give God a praise. Say it with me. Say waiting and walking. Waiting. Come on, like you know what you're saying. Say waiting and walking. You see, this boy was set free in a moment with the Son of God, with crazy Jesus. But I believe this story represents so much to us on our journey of faith. And this man recognized something in this conversation with Jesus that some of us struggle to recognize in our life of faith. You see, this man made a statement, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Understand, unbelief is not the enemy of faith. Doubt is not the enemy of faith. Fear is an enemy of faith. The enemy is an enemy to our faith. But unbelief, doubt, is not an enemy to our faith. It is simply something that must be overcome on our journey of faith. You see, this father had enough faith and unbelief at the same time. He had enough faith to come to Jesus in the first place, but he had enough unbelief to question Jesus' ability or Jesus' willingness when he got there. And doesn't this describe us and our journey? That here we are in church. We got enough faith that brought us in the door today. We believe in Jesus. Of course, we believe in him. And perhaps when you received a dream from God when you first got saved, or we began this year with this promise that God declared over all of us, by the way, supernatural increase, and we begin our journey of faith. We begin our journey with our God who is good. And he is good all the time. And there we are believing, and there we are trusting God, and then something happens. Maybe a bill comes in. Perhaps a diagnosis gets declared. Maybe someone else receives their miracle before you do. And you sit there and you begin to question God. God, I've been saved as long as them. I've been following you as long as them. I come to 7 a.m. prayer meeting on a Wednesday morning. They've missed the last three Wednesdays. I've been faithful. How come they got their miracle before I did? Or perhaps someone, a loved one or a family member or a friend walked out on you. And all of a sudden, there we are. Of course, we still believe. But because of our circumstances, all of a sudden, our unbelief at the same time has an opportunity to flourish. Is God really bigger than that bill? Is God really greater than that diagnosis? Does God really love me enough if they received their miracle first? If that person left me, is God going to leave me as well? And what it comes down to is this. Do we believe that God is who He says He is? Do we believe that God can do what He says He can do? Because it can be easy sometimes to believe it for someone else. But then to have to believe it for ourselves, we know the size of our bills. We know the fear attached to our diagnosis. We know the depth of our sin. We know the history that we've been through. We've got all of these reasons of why perhaps God wouldn't bless us, or God wouldn't move for us, or God wouldn't bring a breakthrough for us. It can be easy sometimes to believe it for someone else. And what this all comes down to is what we will allow to speak to us the most. Is it the things we see and we feel and we experience? Is it things in the natural? See, we have a choice to make. Are we going to walk by sight or by faith? Do we walk by faith or by sight? Will we allow the multitude of things going on around us to dictate our faith? Or will we stand firm upon the promises of God? Can we go deeper this morning? Are you sure? Waiting and walking. Waiting and walking. See, this father in Mark chapter 9 had enough faith to go to Jesus despite what his natural circumstances were saying. His son was sick. His son was possessed. The circumstances were bad, but he still had enough faith to go to Jesus. This is where things get crazy. Jesus does not seem at all unsettled by the boy's condition. He doesn't seem rattled. He isn't rushed. He isn't stressed. He isn't even in a hurry to heal this boy. If I was God, thank God that I'm not, but if I was God, I feel like I would want to prove my goodness in a hurry. Jesus was not in a hurry to prove how good He is. He was not in a hurry to do anything with this. It's almost as if He knew something that no one else knew. You see, this is the good God that we serve. We know He is good, but we don't know in this story necessarily why He delayed in responding. And this father, it all comes back to this father, he was walking through life and waiting on Jesus. And in this life that we live, we are called to both walk in the direction of our destiny and wait upon the Lord, walking and waiting. And there will be plenty of things and plenty of people and plenty of circumstances that will try and distract us and discourage us from walking and from the waiting. But see, a life of faith is very different from a life of understanding. If you confine yourself to a life of understanding, you are relying upon this 2 or 3 kilogram organ up here in your head to get you through life. But this life of faith is not all about understanding, because we do not always understand what we are in the middle of. But that is faith. Trusting that God is who He says He is. Trusting that He can do what He says He can do. Trusting that if God promised it, then I believe it. That His promises are yes and amen. That nothing is too hard for Him. Trusting that God knows what He is doing. I need to illustrate this for us, I think. I'm going to invite Pastor Joth out on the stage. How you doing, Joth? See, I need Joth's help here today. You might have seen Joth out the front playing guitar and singing, and there's a lot of things, though, that Joth can do. And see, I can play the piano, but after a couple of minutes, I'm going to run out of things to play. But someone like Joth, he's a master at it. He's an expert at it. And a piano Many of us would have seen the picture of a piano before with the white and the black keys laid out there. And a piano has only 12 notes on it. It's this long, but the 12 notes, they repeat. They happen once and then they repeat and they happen once and then they repeat. There is only 12 notes that exist. Could you do me a favor? Just play the 12 notes for us. That's all there is. Just those 12. And the problem is, if you don't know how to fit those 12 notes together properly, and if you get up there and try and play that piano, it could sound something like this. Come on, everybody, let's worship. Who knows? That doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound good at all. But you see, you got to understand how to make the notes all fit together. Now, Joth there just played you all 12 notes, but there's something called a major scale. Someone once decided a major scale. This is the way the notes are going to fit best together. There's not actually 12 notes in a major scale. There's actually only 7, and they sound like this. Doesn't that sound all nice? That sounds a lot nicer. But the thing is, if all you know is a major scale, then you're very limited in what you can do. It's just going to go up, it's going to come down. It's going to go up and it's going to come down. It's just going to be a scale, same thing over and over and over again. But when you have a master, all of a sudden they can put the notes together and this happens. Thank God for that. Now, what happens is when you know how to put the notes together, all of a sudden it can transport you somewhere. The music will go somewhere. But perhaps the life that you want to live is not a notebook-styled life. That was the theme from The Notebook, if you didn't catch it. Perhaps you want to live a bit more of this kind of life. Not many people can do that. What that takes is a master who can sit above it all and knows what to put where and in what order they go into. See, in our limited understanding and limited knowledge, we may be able to get them in one order and back down again and one order and back. But when you have a master, all of a sudden it begins to put them together and it tells the story. You see, God sits above our life. We are here stuck on November the 11th, 2018. We've never been here before, but we are locked up and limited in time. But we serve a God who exists outside of time. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the very foundation of the world. He's not limited like we are, and He knows how to put your life together. He knows how this bit goes with that bit, and this bit goes with that bit. He is the one that we can trust with our life. You see, just because you don't know how it all fits together, just because you don't understand what you may be in the middle of, we're called to keep on walking and keep on waiting. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. I read this poem this week. I'm not much of a poetry reader myself, but I stumbled upon this poem. And I wanted to share with it this morning with you. It says this from the top. It says, God doesn't love me. You can't force me to believe that God is good. This is the one truth in life, that this world is just a product of chance. It's amazing to me how many people will try and get you to be convinced of that fact, that this world is simply a product of chance. You go onto our university campuses or school campuses, and people who are locked up in here relying on this 2-kilogram organ in their brain somehow have worked out that this world is just a product of chance. How can I believe that God will use my life? In fact, I now know with certainty that God has left me. It's amazing how circumstances can make us feel that way. Never again will I say that Christ is risen from the dead. I know now more than ever in my life that man can save himself. I wonder if the Father felt that way on that day. That here he was in the presence of a God who was doing nothing for his boy. We must realize that it is ignorant to think that God answers prayers. Christians declare that without God, this world would fall into darkness, but this world can and will meet my needs. It is a lie to say that God has always been there for me. I now realize that no matter what I do, the truth is, He doesn't love me. How can I presume that God is for me? Bet you've never heard a poem like that read in church before. You may be sitting there wondering, what the heck is this guy talking about? He was trying to build my faith and then poof. See, the Bible says, it's this incredible verse in Isaiah 46, verse 10. It says, God knows the end from the beginning. Here we are standing at the beginning of our promises. Here we are maybe even standing in the middle of our promises. Here we are definitely standing in the middle of our circumstances, but we serve a God who knows the ending from the beginning. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when He gives His promises stand. No matter what may be going on in our life, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. This is the God that we serve. And if His promises are good, if He is good, if He does know the end from the beginning, then maybe the end from the beginning is this, that God is for me. How can I presume that He doesn't love me? The truth is, no matter what I do, I now realize that God has always been there for me. It is a lie to say that this world can and will meet my needs, for without God, this world would fall into darkness. Christians declare that God answers prayers, and we must realize that it is ignorant to think that man can save himself. I know now more than ever in my life that Christ is risen from the dead. Never again will I say that God has left me. I know with certainty that God will use my life. How can I believe that this world is a product of chance? This is the one truth in life, that God is good. God is good. You cannot force me to believe that God doesn't love me. Planet Shakers, we serve a God who is good and good all the time. He knows your ending from your beginning. He knows what you're in the middle of. He knows what His promises are over your life. And His promises are yes and amen. Come on, can we just take a moment and give Him a praise? I'm looking for someone that would stand up and believe God at His word. I'm looking for someone that would stand up in the middle of what they're going through and grab a hold of the promises of God. Come on, just 10 seconds. Would you give Him a praise in this place? If you believe His promises over your life, I wonder if your circumstances are shouting louder than your faith in God is. Understand, unbelief is not an enemy to our faith. You can have faith and unbelief at the same time. The question is, what are you going to do with that? You see, Jesus standing there with the Father, while the boy was busy convulsing, why would He let the boy keep going while He's busy trying to minister to the Father? It's because He knows the end from the beginning. That He knew it was already done. And just because you can't see it yet doesn't mean God isn't doing it yet. In fact, I'm here to declare to you today that it's already done, that it is finished. That's what His promises are to us, that it is already done. In fact, God declared over us supernatural increase, and you may not be seeing it yet. You may be in the middle of everything that's shouting the opposite to you, but I'm here to declare that we serve a God whose promises are yes and amen. And if He said it, then I believe it, that if that is His word, then I stand upon it, that He is a God for whom nothing is impossible. Come on, somebody, His promises over you are yes. He's gonna do it. All over this room, would you do me a favor and stand to your feet and ask the band to come back? Because in this life of walking and waiting, we are called to keep walking and to keep waiting. We walk into the destiny God has for us, and we keep waiting on the miracle working power of God to do what only He can do. Because He knows the end from the beginning. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He can turn around any situation. He is our great hope. And the Bible promises this. He said, anything is possible if a person believes. Anything is possible if a person believes. God, today we believe. Help us overcome our unbelief. We believe. Help us overcome our unbelief. And I believe today the Holy Spirit, in every area of our life, He wants to restore His promises to you, that He is greater than any diagnosis. He is greater than any bill. He is greater than any circumstance. He is greater than any situation. He is greater than any storm you may find yourself in the middle of. But He wants to restore His promises to you today, that perhaps you allowed unbelief to flourish where there needed to be belief. It's all good, because anything is possible to them that believe.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We want you to know that we're praying for you and we are believing God's best for you. It's been so great to have you with us here at Planet Shakers today. And we would also love to encourage you to check out, we've got brand new music out. You can check it out on all digital platforms. And also come follow us on social media or join us on planetshakers.com for all information on things that are going on near you. We love you. We're thankful for you. Have the best week. We'll see you soon.